At the center of all of our Christmas celebrations, whether you do it because of God breaking into history to rescue us in the person of Jesus, or because you are celebrating Christmas like the culture around us, one way or another, one of the central features of our celebration is this giving and receiving of gifts. Right? A lot of times we bemoan and lament the commercialization of Christmas. But I would contend that this simple act of giving and receiving gifts, if we have eyes to see it, is a special, sacred, and even holy moment. Because the act of giving and receiving gifts is really an echo. It's a reflection of the giver of every good and perfect gift, God Himself. Every time we give and receive gifts, we are reminded in that moment that all of life is a gift from the hand of a generous and gracious God. Even those really mundane gifts, maybe you've had this in your office at work, or you're in a big family and you kind of draw a name, and maybe there's a cap on how much you spend. Maybe it's $15 or $30, and it kind of feels like you're just kind of passing $15 or $30 around a circle. I'm giving $15 to him, but it looks like a gift certificate to his favorite restaurant, and then he gives $15 to her, and it looks like a really pretty scarf that she's going to wear in the winter, and then she gives $15 to him, but it looks like a lot of Starbucks coffee, right? Well, even those gifts, I would say, for people with eyes to see, if you pause and think about it, again, it is a reminder, it is an echo, a reflection, a pointer to the first giver, to the source of all gifts, to the ultimate giver, to God Himself. And in the middle of all of these gifts, all of this giving and receiving, God gives to us the greatest gift of all, His Son, Jesus. And I would say that even though God gave Jesus a couple thousand years ago, right here and right now, once again, God is present and wants to give you that special gift of His Son once again, right here and right now. The most important gift of all. There's a Bible verse that really sums this up beautifully. A pretty famous Bible verse. We even still might see it on a placard in the end zone, right? John 3:16. I still see it every now and then. Many of you may know it, may recall it, right? And it gives us the motivation for everything that God does. That verse, John 3:16, says that God so loved the world. Right? Everything that God does flows out of this heart of intense love for the people that He has made. God so loved the world, and that means you, right? Every single one of you is one person of that world that God created and who God loves. Right? God so loved the world, you, that He did what? That He gave, right? God so loved the world that He gave, out of that great heart of love, God gave, and what did He give? His one and only Son. He gave Jesus. Out of great love for you, God our Father gave the most precious thing. He gave His one and only Son. And it goes on to say, so that whoever trusts in Him, whoever believes in Him, would not perish, but rather would have everlasting life. What a gift. There's another verse that I think helps us understand why that gift was necessary. It's a gift, it's a verse from Romans. It's Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And it starts with it's a little uncomfortable when we get started with it. It's a little ominous to get going, right? But here it is. The reason God gave His one and only Son, flowing from this heart of love, Romans 6:23 says, it begins this way. It says the wages, remember a wage is what you've earned, right? It's what it's what's due to you. It's what you're expected to receive. You put in 12 hours of work and you get paid your wages. You get a return for what you have put in. Okay? And it says the wages, and here's the big ominous word that we don't like to talk about, that we definitely don't like to apply to ourselves. But here it is, the wages of sin. And that's a big scary word, right? We're uncomfortable with it. The wages of sin. Sin is simply the concept, the reality that the Bible uses to explain why the world is the way it is. Sin. It's the reason, sin is the reason, the Bible gives us this picture, it is the reason that despite all of our incredible technological advances, all of our progression in science and medicine, in spite of all of our knowledge, in spite of our capacity to communicate said advances and knowledge across the world like that, sin is the reason that we're essentially no better off than our ancestors, and many would argue even worse. Anxiety, depression, loneliness, dysfunction in families only seems to multiply across all social spectrums. The Bible presents sin as the reason why that's so, why we can't seem to break out of struggle and hardship and pain and wars and conflict and fighting, even in our own homes. The wages of sin. Right? The Bible gives us the picture that God made this world to be perfect, including the people. But what happened was the first man and woman basically said, "No thanks, God. We've got this. We can do this on our own. We don't need you." And that's essentially what sin is. It's cutting ourselves off from the source of life, from the giver of life. And we're saying to God, "We don't need you." So sin is cutting ourselves off from the source of life, and then it has other effects. We eventually end up cutting ourselves off from each other and turning in on ourselves, turning into ourselves. And basically everything becomes about me, 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 me. And really, even when I'm thinking about you and doing something for you, a lot of times it's still really about me. How I feel better by doing something for you, or maybe I want to look good by doing something for you. Sin cuts us off from God, damages our relationship with each other, and turns us in on ourselves. So it's no wonder that this verse says, the wages of sin is death. It's the natural result. It's right where sin leads. When you cut yourself off from the source of life, there is nothing left but death. That's why none of us gets out of here alive. There is bodily death, but the scriptures are speaking about something deeper and even more profound, a spiritual death, a complete incapacity to love God and serve God as he should be loved and served. And this death would continue for eternity because God has created us to be immortal. And we will continue on either in life or in a living death, cut off from the source of all life and hope and love and joy and peace. That's what hell is, to be cut off from God. The wages of sin, what we have earned, what we deserve from sin, is death, physical and spiritual, eternally. But the verse isn't over, and that's the good news. Otherwise, this is sure a downer of the Christmas, right? The wages of sin is death, but, big important word, but the gift of God. Right? A gift is not earned. It just flows out of the heart of love to people who just don't deserve it. But the gift of God, unlike the wages of sin which we've earned, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what the whole Christmas thing is about. God has so loved the world, He so loved you, that He gave His one and only Son so that if you would trust in Him, you would not perish eternally apart from God, suffering the wages of your sin, but rather would live forever in the presence of God. Because this Jesus was not just this cute little infant to be the center of a nice little nativity scene, but this Jesus came to grow up and to be the man who would carry every last one of our sins on His back to that cross, and there, in your place, to pay the wages of your sin completely Himself. Every last debt to God and man and woman you owe, Jesus paid on the cross with His own body and blood, with His own agony and torment. Not just the physical death, not just the whipping and the nails and the spitting and the mockery and the agony of crucifixion, but also a spiritual death. Jesus went into the very pit of hell for you. The full wages of your sin were paid by Jesus on the cross. He experienced separation from God His Father mysteriously, wondrously on the cross. And when His dead body was placed in the tomb, it didn't stay there. But 3 days later, Easter Sunday, He walked out of that grave alive again. His disciples saw Him, they touched Him, they witnessed He was alive. And that is the promise of the Scriptures. That you trust in this Jesus, your debt is paid in His blood and death on the cross. And you have everlasting life. Peace with God forevermore. Now the question is, how will you receive that gift? Because like I said earlier, God is here right now to give you Jesus and all that Jesus has done for you. But how will you receive that? In what way will you receive it? I want to tell you two stories, two parallel stories, to give you two ideas of how this could go down. A year ago Christmas, another family from church, the McNult family, they were here at the earlier service. And our family, long complicated story how this happened, but we ended up both getting half-brother puppies from the same family. Half-brother puppies, little black and white labradoodles. Okay? And you can go on Facebook and you can watch the Sunday morning reveal of the McNult family. And it is glorious, right? So what they did is they've got four kids, and they took a picture of what would be called Murphy, and they put him in the little picture frame, and they wrapped them up, and they gave them each of their four kids. We had like two dog dish things, you know, and we put the picture of what would become Cosmo, and we put his picture in there, and we wrapped that up, and we're going to give that to our kids, right? So the McNults, and I really do recommend, if you're on Facebook, check this out. I think Deb's going to repost it again. Check it out. So you can see Steve's over there in his chair next to the tree. Deb's doing the filming, and the kids all have their little pictures, and they're unwrapping it simultaneously. And just like any parent would long for and expect, there's this moment where they're like, there's this wonder, there's this awe, and then all of a sudden they're kind of asking, is it happening? And then they are screaming. They are literally screaming with absolute joy and hysterical delight. They are screaming their heads off, yes, yes, yes. And they run to Steve, who's sitting in the chair, and they just wrap their arms around him, like, Daddy, thank you, Daddy, thank you, Daddy, thank you. It is exactly the reaction any parent would want if they're given a killer gift to end all gifts and they've been working and slaving and excited to give this gift. There it is, right? Check it out. Then there's my home. So, I'm not a dog person, and they've always made me uncomfortable ever since I was a little kid, and unfortunately, I made that very, very clear, and resisted the dog thing for years and years and years, so much so, unfortunately, to my great and everlasting shame, when my kids open up the little thing and see the little picture, it's not the same reaction, not at all. There's almost tears and not a joy. They see this picture and they're looking at each other and they'll kind of look at their mom. I don't know if they even looked at me. I really can't remember. And they were upset. I'm like, whoa,
this isn't what I thought would happen. But the problem was they honestly, and you can ask them to this day, they honestly didn't trust their dad. And shame on me, they thought it was like the cruelest Christmas morning joke ever. They didn't trust that their dad would give them this thing that they wanted so much. So back to Jesus, which is what this is really all about. God your Father loves you, and he wants the absolute best for you. How will you receive that? How will you receive Jesus? Do you trust your Father? Do you know that he wants to give you what is absolutely best for you, what you need more than anything in the universe, that he is filled with love for you and wants to give you everlasting life with him, that he wants to wipe your slate clean and forgive you and say, you are mine forever. Here is my son Jesus for you. Or are you tempted to kind of give God a stiff arm still and say, I don't really believe that. I don't really think you love me. I don't really think you would do this for me. I don't really think that you would do this freely and generously for me. Which is it? Is it joyful? Gratitude? Even like crazy, wow, just utter ecstatic joy and celebration? Or are you still going to hold God at a distance and say, I don't know? God has loved you and has been planning for this gift from before the creation of this world. Before he created anything, he knew what making humanity, a humanity that could live with him forever, would cost him. He knew it would cost him his son. God our Father knew that from eternity. And out of great love, he wanted to give it. A friend of mine from church here helped me see this just a week ago. Like, look at it this way. The Bible is really the story of a father getting ready to give the greatest Christmas gift ever. And if you read the Bible in that way, it's kind of, wow, that's cool. It's almost like God is getting ready. You see, like, all these little announcements, and he's, like, dropping hints to everybody all along the way. A little prophecy here, a little hint there, a little prophecy here, a little hint there. Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to give. And here it comes. Are you ready? Here it comes. And then there's Christmas, and there's Jesus. God loves you right here and right now. Jesus, the complete forgiveness of your sins, peace with God, everlasting life, are yours to the asking. Will you pray with me now? If you want Jesus, if you want this gift, if you've been walking with Jesus for a long time already, you know that you still need him and you still want to receive him today, again. Even though you've received him a long time ago, you still want Jesus. You know how good he is and what he means to you. Maybe you've wandered from him for years, and this is the moment you can have him back. Maybe you've never known him, but you want what only he can give. Let's pray. Father, you are so good. You are so generous. You are so filled with love. We thank you, God, for the great love that you give to us every single day, how you sustain this body, how you preserve this body, how you keep us going. Every single thing we have is a gift. The air we breathe, the food that we eat, the families that surround us, everything is a gift. But Father, we're so lost and we need even more. Lord, we have sinned against you. We've sinned against other people. We're part of the problem of this world. Father, please forgive us, just as you've promised. And please now, in this moment, give to us Jesus. And with him, your forgiveness, your peace, your love, and the gift of everlasting life. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, faithfulness, and help us to receive you now and always with great joy. Amen.
And we continue to worship God with our offerings. And then with beautiful time of reflection and meditation on God's word, song, a beautiful, beautiful time in the presence of God.